Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You are now entering a critical thinking zone. Thinking caps are required beyond this point. From deep behind enemy lines, deep in the heart of the Midwest, it's your host, Andrew Coppins. And it's time for Critical Thinking.
Welcome into a Truth or Fiction Tuesday here on Critical Thinking. Andrew Coppins, that's me, the voice you're hearing and seeing moving in the mouth. He is Pat Oney. Yes, you can find us on social media at The Coppins Show, at The Pat Oney Show. You know the drill by now. Thank you so much. If you are a brand new subscriber to the show, we'd love you for that. Do not forget, you can hit the little notification bell or make sure you're downloaded for every single day of the podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. Or if you're a Rumble subscriber, make sure that you allow email notifications, because that will let you know when the show is available to you. That being said, if you are not watching, you can go to rumble.com/critical thinking. Right, Pat? rumble.com/critical thinking, correct? By the way, Pat, did you know we were in a Rumble battle last week?
No, I didn't know that.
We were a winner of that Rumble battle, which means more money in our pocket, which is great, grand, wonderful.
Do explain.
So Rumble, like, one of its features originally were these like battles of videos that had similar content, if you will. And people got to select the winner of that battle. And we won one of those. So we get a little bump in our cachet in our account. So I will gladly take that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we are slowly but steadily gaining subscribers. It's amazing what happens when you hit some of these benchmark moments, right? When you get to your first 100, then when you get to 250, then when you get to 500, how quickly that momentum can gain. We've gained quite a bit over the last week or so. So thank you to all of you new subscribers out there. We greatly appreciate it. Make sure you're also telling at least one other person about the show. That's how we grow. That being said, it is a Truth or Fiction Tuesday. If you're new to the show, Pat, what is Truth or Fiction Tuesday?
Truth or Fiction Tuesday is a, well, it is unlike any other Tuesday, every Tuesday.
It's unlike any other show's Tuesday programming.
Right. Mm-hmm. In other words, it is a where we give a statement to where the other will answer if it's truth or fiction.
That's correct. We're gonna go through the news, the time of the day. It is election day. That's right. So, folks, this is the one time of the year where I will remind you, go and vote if you see fit. I'm not going to, you know, if that is your druthers that you don't want to vote and you believe that voting doesn't represent your values in this election, all I'll say is this. Look into your heart. Look into your conscience. and decide whether or not voting is right for you. And if it is right for you, make sure you have already voted, like Pat and his family have, via mail, because that's a thing in Utah. And or like me, I'm going to have to vote later today. For me, it's just that I enjoy the physical act of voting. I don't trust the mail voting. All that.
Oh, I don't trust it either.
I don't trust it as far as I can throw it. And that's a lot to do with how. Right. And it has a lot to do with me, for me, Pat, with having worked inside polling before. I've worked as a poll watcher. I've volunteered. I don't trust that these volunteers necessarily know what the hell they're doing. More importantly, that they are not unwilling, as we saw with that story yesterday out of Indiana, to play shenanigans, to pre-select ballots, to do this, to do that. It's not out of the question. That being said, though, Pat, why don't you go first with your first Truth or Fiction Tuesday here on Election Tuesday? Is this the most consequential election of your lifetime, Pat? Bonus Truth or Fiction.
I could make the argument either way, honestly, but we always hear this every election. This is the most important election of our lifetime. Mm-hmm. I was listening to Steve Dace yesterday, and I think that this might be the most clarifying election of our lifetime.
Yeah, and I think that's why it is important, right? Yep. It is right. Important to gain that clarity. Either we are down the road of totalitarian socialism, or we're going to be able to put a stop to it.
Right. So.
Yeah. It's just that simple for me. Now, with that being said, Pat, your first truth or fiction.
My first truth or fiction. Mm-hmm. So, if the GOP gets its red wave or red tsunami or whatever you want to call it.
Some are calling it the red wedding.
Yeah.
I was not a Game of Thrones guy. So I couldn't tell you what that reference really would mean,
I don't know either. I never watched it. I have no plans of watching it. Yeah. Anyway, if the GOP wins the House and Senate, mm-hmm. and has its red wave that has been being claimed for a while now, mm-hmm. if that happens. They should focus on owning inflation rather than owning the libs.
Can't you walk and chew gum at the same time? So I will say this. I think I know where you're going to be going with this one. And I will say that this is truth. Because what do we know about inflation, Pat? Inflation has two parts to it. There's a consumer economic component to this, okay? There is. But inflation at its core is a problem of government. And we have talked about this being a problem of government from two aspects. Either the government is spending too much money, or the government is printing too much money. My argument is that we're not even close to seeing the tip of the iceberg of our inflationary problems right now. We've been able to stave off a little bit of this inflationary pressure as of late simply because consumers and the housing market have been strong. And I'm not saying that the housing market hasn't slowed down. Now, part of this is, historically speaking, these last 3-4 months of the season slow way down. Compared to all the other stuff. That having been said, I would look at it this way, Pat. When we take a look at the ability of the economy to outpace government spending, government production of money, is it there enough to tamp inflation down? No. So, to the statement, right, they should focus on owning inflation versus owning the libs. I will say this is truth. Because we know the two components of the current inflation involve an ass ton of government spending to the tune of adding at least $2-3 trillion to the deficit over the course of the last 2 years. Okay. We also know that they have a basically a blank check with all these omnibus bills. They're not producing a budget. So there are two things that the Team GOP could potentially focus in on, right? Reining in government spending, number one. And number two, they could go ahead and reduce budget deficits, thus reducing the impact to inflation. The other thing that they need to do is put pressure as much as they can on the Federal Reserve, because we have got to decirculate money at a massive rate. And these 0.75 point rate hike every couple of months or whatever the Federal Reserve Bank decides to do has done nothing to date. And it's largely done nothing because of, number one, we still have way too much money in circulation in the economy. That was part and parcel of Donald Trump's fault, but also Joe Biden not turning the spigot off when the quote-unquote pandemic was over. Now, we also know that, what is it, something like 60 or 70% of the Dems, when they're polled, don't believe the pandemic is over. Hi, reality over here. While, yeah, there might be people who get sick and get COVID, people get sick and get the cold, people get sick and get SARS, monkey pox, people get sick and get the flu every year, you're going to have to learn to live with this. It's just a reality of what you get. So with that having been said, Team GOP also has the ability to hold the feet to the fire of the Fed, Janet Yellen, and her ilk. She is awful, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad at her job. Okay. They also have a responsibility to not necessarily poo-poo the Green New Deal, in so much as are there things that government can do to help that all-in economic model that we've talked about, or energy model, right, Pat? We could do some of the things, but to rein in the insanity coming from the Fed when it comes to this. The Federal Reserve has weighed in on all sorts of weird cultural and social issues, ESG, DEI, you name the alphabet soup, and they've been involved in it. So the ability for them to hold the Fed to some sort of an account here will be an important piece of this puzzle. They have a role to play. And if they want to win in 2024, not just here in 2022, because let's remember the Senate map in 2024 is even more favorable than it is here. In fact, it was less favorable than normal to the GOP, okay, heading into the election season. The chances of them, if you would have looked at this map in 2021 and said that Team GOP is going to be 5-6 seats up, right? You would have been thought crazy. Like, you maybe there's a 1 or 2% chance of that happening, and now it's likely to be, well, we'll get into that in a little bit. But my point being that if they go into 2024 with a much more favorable and winnable Senate map, they have to have receipts. The American people are going to demand those receipts because they're demanding right now action. So what can the government do? Well, if you own the House and you own the Senate, you own the conversation with the President of the United States of America. And if I'm Joe Biden, I'm taking the deal on reducing our spending. I'm taking the deal on coming up with a budget. I'm taking the deal when it comes to accountability of the Fed. And here's why. Because you come out as the uniter. You come out as the, see, I reached across the aisle, the old Bill Clinton trick, right? You come out looking like a winner. But so does Team GOP, right? Now you're fighting over who did what. Either way, the American people are winners. Does that mean that there's a guarantee that inflationary pressure and recession won't last into 2024? No. But if you can show inroads, if you can show that you have been able to reverse some of the awful effects of government on inflation, that can be a win for you. It's the number one thing that I think Team GOP gets in this election. It's the economy, stupid. That's what the Dems didn't get and miscalculated on running against, or running on, by the way, especially in this last quarter, as we've talked about ad nauseum in this program. Right, Pat?
Right.
I mean, I've talked about this over the last 3 weeks. The closing argument should have been the positive economic numbers in real GDP growth, in real wage growth, and in a steady, healthy 3.5% unemployment rate. And then look forward to the American and look at the American people and say, now that we have started this process, trust us to finish it. But that's not what they said. They've run on every other issue and every other cockamamie bullshit thing that they think they can win on. We talked about it yesterday. And if, excuse me, if you didn't listen or watch yesterday's show, go back and do so. Because we laid out how dumb the case the Dems really have made is. Like, it is the dumbest case I have ever seen being made. The dumbest closing argument, the dumbest case, the dumbest everything I have ever seen in my entire life when it comes to politics. Now, what say you on this? Do you agree with me? Are you there? Do you think? And again, I want to just go back to the very beginning, Pat, because I believe you can do both. I believe you can own inflation and then own the libs because you own inflation.
That was kind of my take on it, but a little bit different. And I'll explain how in just a second.
Sure.
I mean, you want inflation, you want the libs. I mean, it's kind of a symbiont circle, if you will, by tackling that issue alone, because this election really is about, I think, two things. One, it is the cultural war BS that everyone's just really sick of.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is their pocketbook. So, I mean, it's like you said, it's the economy, stupid. And the Dems don't understand that. They don't. It's completely over their head at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I actually came down on this as fiction, and I'll explain why. We've seen what the GOP does when they're in power. Years and years and years now. We've seen that they are just as capable as spend, 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 spend. That being said, I get what you're saying about, hey, you know, the GOP is going to have to bring receipts by 2024. I don't disagree with you on there at all. They're going to have to. That being said, this is fiction because is the GOP, and I hope I'm wrong on this, by the way. I really do. And if I'm wrong, I will be the first to say it. I will be the first to take my flogging for it. I will hand you the flogger myself. Okay.
Is that my present today?
Wait, what?
Is that my present today? I get to flog you?
No.
Oh, dang it.
No. That isn't it today. No. But my point in all of this is that I don't trust the GOP to put together a balanced budget. I don't. Are they more likely to do it than the Democrats? Absolutely. Absolutely. I would agree with that. But I've seen this show before. Give me the power. Give me the power. Give me the power. And then they don't do crap with it. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope they bring receipts in 2024. I hope that there is significant improvement come 2024. And that they can show, like, hey, we've reduced inflation. even if it technically gives Joe Biden a win at the end of the day, I don't really care at this point. It gives the GOP a win too, like you said. All of that is, all of what you said is true if. Right now, I have no trust in Team GOP. I have a few trust in a few select people in Team GOP, but mm-hmm. as a whole, yeah, no. I couldn't put my trust there.
No, I agree with you in terms of the long-term trust issues. But that having been said, we know the fundamentals are there for them to be able to take advantage of it.
They are. It's just, will they?
Right, and I agree with you. But I think those are two separate questions. So with that being said, my first truth or fiction to you is that the GOP, after election night, will have 55 senators in this election cycle. So the GOP will have 55. That means they have won, count them, Pat, at least 5 seats.
I'm going to go with truth on this because I think there's going to be some places in this country that are going to surprise us. I do think the GOP is going to win some seats that they thought maybe they wouldn't win.
Which ones do you think that's that very, they didn't think they were going to win?
Wait, what?
So where do you think that's going to come from?
I think Pennsylvania is going to be one.
Yeah, but I think they thought that they might win that one.
Well, yeah, they might. I think I'm trying to think of where else. I mean, for a while there, we all thought Herschel Walker was going to lose to Raphael Warnock in Georgia, but that's has changed over the last several weeks.
Yeah, Trafalgar came out with their poll yesterday, their final poll, I believe, before the election. Maybe they have one more to come out this morning, but he was up by 3 points. And by the way, Brian Kemp being up by 10 and Walker up by 3 speaks volumes of how terrible of a candidate Herschel Walker has been. But that's notwithstanding. I agree with you in terms of Georgia. So, but you agree, 55, right?
Yeah, I think it's very possible. I mean, Blake Masters looks like he's going to pull it out in Arizona.
Yep. Adam Laxalt in Nevada looks like he's pulling away with that one. Which also means the governorship in Nevada will likely change hands as well to Team GOP. I'm gonna go with this being truth as well. I think we clean sweep it to 55 here. I don't see a Senate race, and I think the biggest one might be New Hampshire. And then also, I think what we have to look for is Lisa Murkowski potentially losing in Alaska. Now, Alaska is different because they have ranked choice voting and all that sort of stuff. There's an actual Team GOP person in the mix here that seems to be leading. So I firmly believe we're going to see when it comes out at the very end that Murkowski loses. That's a win for Team GOP, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at New Hampshire.
Is she against a GOP candidate, or like how is that working in Alaska?
It's all ranked choice voting, so they have a little bit of a different scenario in play. Murkowski got enough votes to get on the ballot for the general election, but so did the actual winner of the GOP primary.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ranked choice voting, basically if people don't know it, is that you rank the people in, like, let's say the GOP primary, right? You rank the people based off of your voting preference. Now, if somebody bows out of the race or doesn't get to a certain threshold, where does your vote go to, right? And then you rank that out, and then they calculate based off of that. I don't know all the details there, but basically what it does is it ensures that there's the possibility of a smaller candidate getting more traction, right? So, for instance, a lot of libertarians believe in ranked choice voting. And they believe in it because people, correctly, by the way, today, believe that if you don't vote for Team GOP or Team Democrat, your voice won't be heard, right? And it's important to have your issues heard. And so therefore, it actually hurts the smaller candidate because what do you do, right? But if you have ranked choice voting, you could throw your first vote to the team GOP candidate. And if there's no 50% threshold, right, then it goes to your second choice. And you know, okay, so then we figure it out based off of that. Yeah, I don't know all of the details, but it's an interesting way of looking at how you vote and how important it is to look at the actual candidates instead of just blankly checking team GOP or team Donkey.
Right.
So I look at Alaska. I look at New Hampshire. Maggie Hassan could be in some serious trouble up there, which would be great. And then Arizona. Blake Masters, as you mentioned, seems to be pulling away here late when you look at the Trafalgar polling and all that stuff. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think this is important because if you're at 55, you need to peel just five Democrats away. Considering what Joe Biden decided to tell coal country over the weekend, right? And how Joe Manchin went off on him.
Yeah.
Now you just need to be pulling a Kyrsten Sinema and maybe three or four other Democrats that are looking at their 2024 election scenarios. I don't know if it would be that hard to do. I'm out.
I don't know that would be that hard to, because Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema for that matter is
right. I'm saying that they may still have the D next to their name, but they might be. In important issues on economics and important issues of some of the big stuff that's out there, they may swing your direction more often than not, which means that you have a veto-proof majority in the Senate potentially on some key issues. So I think it's going to be important to get to 55. If you get to only 54 or 53 and somehow Pennsylvania's election goes weird, wonky, strange, or Wisconsin somehow goes weird, wonky, strange. It'll be interesting. Because then at that point, there's no incentive for a Manchin or a Sinema to really caucus with you all that often.
No, but despite the D next to their name, they do seem to be, those two specifically seem to be the most willing to work across the aisle.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. Now, that having been said, we have hit the halfway point in the show, which means it's a great time for us to play the B or not the B, win $100 of Dominic Izzo's totally legitimate, not MLM Ponzi scheme money. Are you ready, Pat?
Yes, I'm totally willing to win some of Dominic Izzo's totally Ponzi scheme illegitimate money. Yeah, I'm totally willing.
Nate Silver prepares for a biannual tradition of screaming that his wildly erroneous polls were somehow right, Pat. Again, the headline, Nate Silver prepares for a biannual tradition of screaming that his wildly erroneous polls were somehow right. While you are thinking as to whether or not that is the B or not the B, my friends, please visit our fine official coffee of Critical Thinking. It is the best part of what is in my cup. It is the salted caramel. Coffeebrandcoffee.com, small batch roasted. And by small batch, I mean literally roasted so it's put directly into your bag. That's how this rolls. Delicious, delicious, delicious coffee without the politics. Like on either side. They don't want the politics of either side. They just want to focus on it. Here's a very novel concept. I'm producing really good coffee. That's it. That doesn't come with a message. It's just coffee. Coffeebrandcoffee.com. Enter the promo code CriticalThinking at checkout for 5% off of your purchase today. Again, that's coffeebrandcoffee.com, a good Utah-based company, by the way, Pat, as you know. Coffeebrandcoffee.com. Yes, enter the promo code CriticalThinking. You can get your coffee, your tea, and your hot cocoa as we enter the winter months. Again, coffeebrandcoffee.com, promo code CriticalThinking at checkout for 5% off. All right, do you need the headline one more time, Pat?
No, and I'm going to tell you why.
Oh, no.
You know how we didn't play the B or not the B yesterday?
This was going to be yours?
This was going to be mine. Also, if you listen to Steve Dace yesterday, it was featured on the Steve Dace Show.
Now, the other option that I had, by the way, Pat, was Biden's DOJ is going to monitor the polls in 24 states to ensure voting law compliance.
Oh, that's going to be not to be, right?
Yeah, that's not to be. Sure. Right.
So since I got both those, can we get $200 of?
No, we're going to be nice and we're only going to allow $100 at a time.
Oh, that's mean.
Now, wait a second. How's that mean? But the Babylon Bee story continues like this. Famed pollster Nate Silver has begun preparations for his biannual tradition of screaming on national television about how his completely erroneous polls were actually correct. No, you don't understand. None of you understand, shouted Mr. Silver, pulling even more patches of hair out. Everything turned out the exact opposite of what I said is because of margin of error metrics and Z-score analysis, and I would like to see you do better, Samantha. The tradition first began in 2016 when Mr. Silver pulled out half of his hair and then lit himself on fire during an interview on NBC. It's become a real hallmark of our election coverage, said anchorman Samantha Guthrie. We watch every prediction get crushed in real time, then observe as Mr. Silver slowly implodes. In 2020, we had an office pool on how long it would take before he declared that his polls were right, but people voted wrong. 30 minutes. Thanks, Florida. In hopes of preventing the usual meltdown, Mr. Silver had demanded that people attempt their own predictions before making fun of the fact that he got everything wrong. If you aren't better than me at my job, you can't tease me, said Mr. Silver. Those are the rules, right? Turnabout being fair play, Mr. Silver's surgeon demanded that Mr. Silver try performing an appendectomy before saying anything critical about how his surgery turned out.
Wow.
Now.
Just wow.
Before we get into the final round of our truth or fiction statements, Pat, I just want to point out where we are. And what is being set up in the media, Pat? Because Politico ran this story yesterday by Eric Geller. It starts like this. The midterms face a bevy of digital threats, from stolen Twitter accounts to hacked election websites, that could spark chaos, confusion, and unrest that last long after the polls close. Wait, what? So you're telling me that there's potential for election fraud? But the second paragraph, Pat. The 2020 presidential election was rife with allegations of voting machine hacks that were later debunked. Yet, there are real risks that hackers could tunnel into voting equipment and other election infrastructure to try to undermine Tuesday's vote.
This is going to be the stop the steal, right? I saw this yesterday and I laughed hysterically. Because here they are saying, well, the 2020 election wasn't stolen. Everything was fine. Nothing to see here. Nothing to question.
But the same things that they believed could have happened in 2020 can totally happen today. Wink, wink.
Wink, right.
So just prepare yourself out there in critical thinking land to know that this is exactly what is going to happen, because we've seen them talk about it already, right? Now, we've also seen the Dems turn on each other. Did you see that interview on MSNBC this weekend with Kathy Hochul, Pat?
No, but I heard about this.
Kathy Hochul was on MSNBC, and she gave some cockamamie answer about crime, right? And the MSNBC anchor goes, yeah, but I live here, and there's real fear from people here in the city of New York. This isn't some right-wing city, right? And she just laid into Kathy Hochul, and Hochul had no response, none.
And she doesn't want to become San Francisco.
Yeah. We don't want to become San Francisco. Whoa! I mean, she's right. In so much as San Francisco is a drug-addled, feces-ridden city. It is disgusting. Even if you go a block out of the tourist areas, right? Yikes. It is not safe. Let's just put it that way. There's needles everywhere. There's feces everywhere. There's homeless people, strung out on drugs all over the place. It's not good news. All right. That having been said, Pat, I'm going to go with my final truth or fiction first. And my final truth or fiction is this. Joe Biden will either be removed from office or forced to announce he will not run for his second term after this ass kicking at the election ballot box today. But it will only come in the first quarter of 2023. It will not come until then. So Joe Biden will be forced to either resign or announce that he will not seek a second term, but it will not happen until the first quarter of 2023.
See, I'm hesitant to answer this because we've made this prediction several times and we've been wrong. Frankly, because, I mean, I think there's a reasonable explanation of why we've been wrong. It's because he's been politically expedient to keep. Kamala Harris is far worse than him.
Yeah, I mean, he's provided cover, I guess, right?
Right, right. So I think there's a reason for it, but at the same time, like, we're getting to the point, can he be a reliable cover for them anymore, especially since his cognitive issues seem to be getting worse.
Yeah, all you needed to know, Pat, is he spent yesterday campaigning in Dems plus 80 districts in Virginia and Maryland.
Why?
You have him there because you can hide him, right? You hide your weaknesses. You accentuate your positives.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of the SWOT analysis, if you will. Strengths, weakness, opportunities, and threats. And Biden is a weakness and a threat at the same time. So you put him in a place, make him feel important, but he can't do any damage to you.
That all being said, though, I come down to this as truth. With the caveat of it will happen no earlier than 2023, the first quarter of 2023.
Right.
Could it happen later? Yes, it could. I think it comes down to how much longer is he going to be politically expedient for them to keep in power?
And the answer to that, by the way, Pat, is none, because they got their ass kicking at the ballot box. Allegedly going to happen tonight, right?
Right.
So when that happens, it's not that he becomes lame duck. It becomes he is the reason and the liability, right? He's the focal point, the face of your ass kicking. But you also have the cognitive issues. You also have all of the other reasons behind this. So I think what we're going to see is those that are the power brokers on the left, okay, they're going to give him that ultimatum because they cannot afford to lose the 2024 election. And I've had this discussion with my wife, Pat. Here's why I think he is the ultimate person that ends up resigning here. Because Kamala Harris is so clueless that she can become so manipulated. What I firmly believe can happen, I'm not saying this will happen, but what I am in the back of my mind prepared to deal with is a resignation of Joe Biden and a declaration of this election is illegitimate and we now have a dictatorship on our hands. We now have what we've feared when it came. And this is the part that bothers me. James Clyburn has talked about Nazi Germany and how the Hitler came to power and got absolutely creamed by the right and by whatever. He's not totally wrong. He's just wrong about how it happened and whom would be doing it here in America. That's what he's wrong about. James Clyburn is right. He was also wrong, by the way, about this, that Germany had one of the most robust democracies in the world. No, they didn't. They were a fledgling democracy. They had just come out of the Weimar Republic. Germany as a country hadn't existed until about 30 years before, right? It was there was Bavaria, there were Holstein Kiel, there all the different areas were all their own, all throughout what is now in modern day Germany. That having been said, what I believe is that Joe Biden has no purpose. So if you have no purpose, it's time to move you on. And more importantly, he becomes a hindrance to something further, right? He becomes a hindrance because he doesn't have the cognitive ability to help you in some sort of transformative plan. So what do you do with that, right? Bye-bye, resign, or announce you are not going to run for a second term. And once they do that, they've neutered him and they can turn those levers of power some more. I firmly believe that's what's going to happen. And I agree with you. It doesn't happen until 2023. And here's why. You want the other side in power when you turn the spigot off. What did Hitler do? He waited until he could gain the power at the very, very top. But his party didn't have full control inside the Reichstag yet. Right? It had enough power. It didn't have all of it, though. And then blame the other side. This is classic politics. This is classic Machiavellian politics. I firmly believe that we're going to see this because even if we don't see the sinister part of this, right? Even if we don't see the, what is your response to getting your ass kicked? And that response is, this is an illegitimate election and we're just going to seize power. Even if that's not what happens. Joe Biden's a liability, not an asset. He is a threat, not an opportunity. So when if you're looking at this from that analysis point of view, right, there is no purpose to him being there anymore. You have to find an opportunity. You have to find some sort of strength. And I can't find it inside the Democratic Party. Like, if I look at 2024, Pat, who in the blue hell are the Democrats going to run in 2024 that would work? James Clyburn? The guy who can barely function in the English language? Are they going to run Stacey Abrams, one of the most unlikable individuals, one of the most radical individuals? Are they going to run AOC? By the way, she's not even eligible to run for president yet. Are they going to be running Ayanna Pressley, Rashida Tlaib? Who the hell do they have? Are they going to be running... Really, they're gonna run Mayor Pete? Is that where we're going here?
Of all the names you just mentioned, though, I mean, he's probably the most likable of all of them.
And he is totally unlikable.
Oh, I agree. But can you honestly tell me that he is less likable than any other name on that list?
Kamala's done. Kamala, she might think she wants to run, but she ain't going anywhere.
Right.
So all of that having been said, my point is I firmly believe you kick Biden to the curb one way or the other and neuter his ability to do anything one way or the other because it's dangerous. You're riding that tightrope over the Grand Canyon and suddenly you feel your foot slipping. What do? You don't kick it all the way out, right? Mm. You try to find your balance again and... That having been said, Pat, your final truth or fiction?
Well, I was going to go with the COVID-19 pandemic, but you kind of already answered the question already earlier in the show. Because most Democrats still believe that the pandemic is not over. That's absolutely true. You already kind of touched on that. Mm-hmm. So I decided to switch it up, if you will, and keep it election themed.
Oh, a little switch hitter action.
Yeah, a little switch hitter action here. Truth or fiction. Joe Biden and pretty much the entire Democratic Party will declare the 2022 election results invalid and will try to ultimately stop those changes from taking place.
I really struggle with this one, Pat, mm-hmm. because that means our republic is over. Okay.
Right. Right.
And that makes me really sad to think about, right?
Uh-huh.
And people might think, wow, that's a really extreme opinion, right? That's a really...
It is.
But having been said, throughout history, what have we heard as the rationale for these types of moves? In order to save our democracy, we must do X, Y, Z.
And that's been the narrative for how long now?
And the narrative has been that the Republicans are going to cheat and that this or that, or they're going to, and it's not necessarily that they're going to cheat at the ballot box. It's they're suppressing the vote, blah, 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 blah. And what have they been setting up? It is this very argument that we must save our democracy from that evil. And again, this show is critical thinking, right? So I have tried very hard to wrap my head around this concept, this idea, right? That the 2022 election is all about Republicans' hatred for democracy. Our democracy is on the line. First of all, we're a republic, not a democracy. The action of voting is the democracy in the republic. It is a form of democracy, but democracy would be a direct vote on every single thing. So every vote or every bill that would come through Congress would have to be voted on by the American people. That's a democracy. We don't live in that. We live in a representative republic. And even the people on the right seem to get this wrong. We don't live in a democracy at a state or local level either. Mm-mm. The only thing that we do that is democratic would be maybe amendments to the Constitution, amendments to state constitutions, or ballot initiatives on a local level, like your school board.
Right.
Or we're gonna take your poll on this tax or that tax because that's how our city or county is set up, right?
Right.
That's the only level in which we're truly democratic in America. Everything else is a representative republic. Your city, county, your town, your village, it's all representative. Whether you think that or know that or whatever. At the end of the day, I come down to fiction on this. I think they will try it, but I think they will fail at this because we still have all the apparatuses in place at local and state levels.
You actually came down the same place I did. So, is ultimately fiction.
It's ultimately fiction because they don't have enough of, and they're going to lose even more. We're talking about New York, Oregon, potentially Minnesota going Republican. New Mexico looks like it could be going Republican. Nevada's going to go Republican. And I talked to you about this earlier, Pat. There might be only three states in the West at the end of this. Colorado, California, and Washington. That will be Democratic. You can't possibly. And this is the difference between Germany and America. Is that what you might see here is that the Democrats might try this at a federal level. But there's still a second and a third layer that you have to peel back. And you don't control enough of those second and third layers to ultimately do what you want to do. Now, what I could see them attempt to make the case about is, see, they wanted to steal this election. They wanted to disenfranchise you. And the furtherment of that disenfranchisement is the Electoral College, and we need to get rid of it. That's where I could really see them try to go, is go direct democracy for voting for the president. And then they turn that other spigot on.
That is a possibility. However, you know, the Electoral College really isn't on the ballot in this election.
No, it's not. But they're going to make the point that if they're willing to do this, then you need to give us the power to dissuade that from happening the next time around. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they're making the argument that the democracy, our democracy, is at stake because of disenfranchisement, right? That's what they're going to say, that they put too many roadblocks or this or that or whatever, whatever cockamamie bullshit idea comes out. And then ultimately what they're going to say is, well, the end game and the worst of that disenfranchisement is the Electoral College. They're going to try to disband the Electoral College. And once you do that, the presidency becomes all powerful. Because you remove the other branches from the process, you remove the states from the process, What is the point of the state of Wisconsin versus the state of Illinois at that point, Pat? What is the point?
No, there isn't. There isn't.
There is none.
If you remove the Electoral College, there might as well not be a state difference between it. You might as well just be one nation. There is no state.
Emperor whomever.
Right.
Right. That's what we have. We have an imperial presidency at that point, and I don't want none of that. Because guess what? My vote here, your vote out in Utah don't mean dick.
Right.
The only votes that matter are the ones that come from California, New York, and Texas. That's it. And oh, by the way, yep. California and New York have way more than Texas combined, so screw the rest of you. We've talked about that ad nauseum on the show in the past.
Right.
Like if you do the right. you do the mental math, if you understand what that would do to the ability of anybody to have a voice outside of those two states, you might as well not even show up to the polls. Seriously.
LA County alone could decide pretty much half the country.
LA County would take up half of the country. Yep. Mm.
But no, this is ultimately fiction. And I agree with everything that you said. I do have a slight difference in that there is, I don't know that this will be politically expedient for them to try. I think they might try it, but they'll test the waters with it, but they won't. I don't think they'll go full fledged on it.
And that's fair enough. I understand where you're going, but I don't think they care about it being politically expedient. It is power expedient, right?
Right?
They don't care about whether or not the American people have the palate for this. Okay. Did the Nazi Party care about whether or not the people had the palate for the beer hall putsch? No.
Did they care
about the Night of the Long Knives and the fire at the Reichstag, right? Did they care as to whether or not the people? No. And here's why. Because they knew that they could instill the fear of the people as much as the adoration of the people. And which is more powerful, adoration or fear? Fear. It's
fear.
Always more powerful. That's how cults work, right? It is the fear. Not the adoration. And that's the difference, I think, when people look at religion versus cults. Religion is oftentimes about the adoration, the positivity versus the fear, right? Now there's the fear of God, right? And all that stuff. And you can talk about the memes with Catholicism and all that stuff. But the point of the matter is this. It is about an adoration versus fear. Fear is control. Adoration is power. Those are two different things. And I just struggle to understand where the Democrats would go from here that wouldn't be a power grab. Now, to answer the question about what would happen because of the layers of the states and localities, you just strip the 10th Amendment. How the hell would you do that? You just declare it invalid, right? Just like you declared the 2022 elections invalid, and therefore we have to take our power and nope, we're done. Again, what happens all across the globe every time this type of a power grab happens? They work through the machinations of the current system and then implode the current system. That's how it happened. In Germany, that's how it happened in Maoist China. That's how it happened in Imperial Japan. It has happened all over the globe every single time that it's happened. Look at Venezuela, right? They it was Chavez. Chavez used the machinations of Venezuela's internal political polling and election system, right? And then just simply declared the elections going forward invalid or change the whole constitution on his own. Can that happen here? Yeah, it can. That's the reality. And with that, Pat, it is time for us to put a bow on Election Tuesday here in 2022. Your final thoughts?
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And for the next gift on Andrew's birthday month.
What's my birthday week?
It's going to be a $5 gift card to the Culver's.
I will take that. That will almost pay for some cheese curds. Appreciate it. Thank you. I love that gift. Thank you so much. And with that, Pat, please be smart, be safe, be kind. As always, Matthew 547.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com code PROGRAM.